Bibles be opening to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Last week, Corey introduced us to our series this month about re-gifting. Re-gifting, as many of us realize, is when you take a gift that someone has given you and you give it to someone else. That's called re-gifting. Last week in the introduction, Corey reminded us of what the younger generation does. The younger generation receives a gift, looks at that gift, not sure if they really know what it is or not. Or they look at it and decide, whoa, I don't like this. I'll never use this. And so they actually rewrap it, take it somewhere else, and give it to someone else as a gift. Now, I just want to say, as the old generation, that's not how re-gifting started. Long before Seinfeld ever had that episode about re-gifting, there were some of us that in our younger days, re-gifting was not an option, it was a necessity. Amen? I mean, you got ready to give somebody a gift and you didn't have anything to give them. So you took what somebody had given you, rewrapped it, and gave it to them. That's what we're talking about this month. Re-gifting. Man. Corey challenged us last week to think about changing someone's world. And one of the ways we can do that is by re-gifting the love that Christ has given to us. This morning, as we examine the Christmas narrative from the Gospel of John, we're going to talk about re-gifting not Christ's love, but Christ's life. Would you stand with me as we read one of my favorite Christmas narratives, beside Revelation chapter 12, and that's John chapter 1. We're going to read 18 verses this morning. We got nothing better to do, amen? Wow. I'm going to take full advantage because I'm used to preaching 4 hours at least on Sunday morning. If you need to take a break and go out and drink coffee and come back in, feel free to do that. Listen intently, because this is not the normal Christmas narrative, but wow, it's unbelievable when we think about what John reveals about the incarnation of Christ. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Some translations say, comprehended it. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not that light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which lightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him," amen, "who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word," you ready for this, "became flesh." Somebody say amen. Amen. Changed everything. One more time. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Parentheses, "John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, for he was before me.'" Close the parentheses. "And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for just the way this storm came. Ice and snow Thursday night and Friday. And wow, the sun popped out yesterday and you allowed the ice and the snow to melt off the roads and off our church parking lot. And man, we just praise you for that. Father, it's just not the same when we have to begin a brand new week and we can't meet with your body in your presence. Father, we just want to welcome all of those whose bodies couldn't meet this morning because of weather. We want to welcome here with us at Hardin. We hope they've felt at home with us. But Father, we just want to turn our attention now to your word and ask you to help us talk about regifting and learn how to regift the life of Christ. Father, anoint us to speak. Please anoint us to hear. For it's in your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When I was in speech class, I was taught to always tell what you're going to tell, then tell them what you're going to tell them, and then before you close, remind them what you just told them. Man, I don't want us to miss this. We've got one point and one point only this morning in the message, and here's the point. You and I have the opportunity, who have received the gift of the life of Christ, to actually give that life away to someone else. It's possible for you and I not only to re-gift the love of Christ, but to actually re-gift his life. As we look at the narrative of John about what we call Christmas, we understand three things about the life of Christ. First, he stepped out. Then, he stepped down. And then, he stepped in. Wow. Can you say that with me? He stepped out, he stepped down, he stepped in. One more time. He stepped out, he stepped down, he stepped in. Now, if I am going to re-life, re-gift, re-package, so to speak, the life of Christ and give it to someone else, guess what I must be willing to do? Step out, step down, and step in. See how easy it is to re-gift the life of Christ. If I'm going to re-gift the life of Christ, I've got to what? Step out, step down, and then step in. Now let's note a few things. If you're used to turning to Matthew and Luke for your Christmas story, you know that those two writers take us back to Bethlehem, not John. He takes us to the beginning. When you study Matthew and Luke, you'll notice that they present Jesus as the son of David, not John. He presents Jesus as the Son of God, who would become the Son of Man. Have you got a handle on this? What we're celebrating this month in this church and in this community is this truth. He who had always been became who he had never been, while at the same time remaining who he always was. Fully God, fully man. Not in his deity, but in his humanity, you and I have received his life. And during this month, we have the opportunity to start this month and for the rest of our life, give that gift to someone else. Listen to what John says about the life of Christ. He takes us back to the beginning. Now, we know what Genesis 1:1 says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John, speaking about recreation to talk about Christ, takes us back to the beginning. But he says, in the beginning, the Word was. Wow. The Word of God is eternal. And then he says, the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Not just eternal as the Word, but equal to God as the Word. And not just eternal and not just equal, but essential. How is he essential? The Bible says that there wasn't anything made that was made without him. Because in him, God, as the Word, second person of the triune God, is life. And his life is the light of men. Wow. And then John tells us about another John. Because, you know, God knew that, wow, when that light came, whoa, we needed to be ready. So he sent a little light ahead of the big light to let everybody get ready for the big light. And that little light came, John the Baptizer. And his whole purpose was to prepare people so that when the Christ came, all would believe But man, when he came, guess what? He came to his own people, the Jews. And the Jews did not receive him. But then John says, but to all who do receive him, to those who believe in his name, they have the right to become sons of God. Wow. Did you catch that? He came as the Son of God so that you and I could become a son of God. And according to John the Apostle in verse 13, those people who receive the Christ, those people who believe in Christ, have experienced not a birth from man, not a birth from the flesh, not a birth even from man's will, but a birth from God. Wow. That's what the incarnation of Christ is about. God sending His Son so others could become one of His Son. Verse 14 still blows my mind. We have no way to comprehend being the second person of a triune Godhead, creating everything out of nothing, speaking it into existence, and then all of a sudden you become a creature, created. While you remain who you had always been, you now become who you had never been, a man, and yet at the same time that you're man, you're still fully God. And now the Word becomes flesh. Wow. Well, that's a step out, amen? But it's not a step up. It's a step down. He become just like you and just like me, yet without sin. Though he would be tempted, not one time would he give in. And the Bible says, and he dwelt among us. I love what Eugene Peterson says. Do any of you ever read The Message? Man, every once in a while, it'd do you good to quit reading what you're reading and read another translation. I say that because of this. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we put it on autopilot. Amen. We just read and we already know what's being said next and it doesn't jump out at us. Eugene Peterson translates this dwelt among us this way. He moved into our neighborhood. Now you say, Brother Gill, why would he say he moved into our neighborhood? Because Eugene Peterson is trying to take the idioms of the Bible and use idioms in our world. And you know what we mean when we say, hey, he moved into our neighborhood. What that really means is he's now one of us. The life he lived is now going to be shared with us. See, this is translating a Greek word that literally means to pitch a tent. Have you ever pitched a tent? Have any ever been fortunate enough to pitch your tent next to somebody who's in a camper or a motorhome? Can I just say this? It's just better if you have a tent and you pitch your tent next to somebody who's in a motorhome. Because that means you can use their bathroom. You can use their gas grill. Amen? TV. Wow. See, when you pitch a tent next to somebody else, what that phrase is talking about is, wow, you make yourself known. You manifest your presence. And you begin to share with who you are. It's called stepping out, down, and into. And that's what Christ did. Amen? And wow. When he started living in our neck of the woods, so to speak, we saw his glory. We saw his manifested presence. And man, he was full. Full of grace and truth. And when you saw him, even in his humanity, you saw a glimpse of the glory of the Son of the Father. Wow. Now we got to remember this. When God first stepped in to reveal himself to his people, John says he gave him the law, and the law came through Moses. Man, we serve a God who says we can't, and if we do what we're supposed to can't, it's going to be bad. Amen? And wow. I don't know about you, but living under the law, you find yourself not measuring up. You find yourself falling short. And you find that your best just doesn't cut it. And as Paul told the church at Rome, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But, wow, grace and truth came through Jesus. See, even though God had given the law to his people, nobody in the law dispensation had ever seen God. Been a few people want to, and God told them, hey, if I let you see me, you're going to die. okay, God, maybe I don't want to see you. Man, been a lot of speculation about what God was like. You know, if you can't see somebody, if you can't be with somebody, how can you really know who they are? It's kind of difficult, isn't it? You kind of feel like you know about them, but you don't really know them. And there's a big difference in knowing about someone and knowing someone. So because no one had ever seen the Father, no one ever really knew the Father. And in verse 18, here's what Scripture teaches, and this is the purpose of the incarnation. Christ came because he was with the Father in his bosom. When he came to this earth in the form of a man, his humanity did not limit him from revealing who his Father was. But in his humanity, you could fully know the Father. This word know is where we preachers get our word exegete from. Now I know you know this. We've warned you about this. There's two kind of teaching that goes on in the church. There's what's called eisegesis, where people already know what they believe about God, and they open up the Bible and they look to find a proof text to prove what God's like. That's called eisegesis. You read into the text what you want it to say. Now, let's not get on to somebody else, because we all do that to a certain degree. Amen? But the word eisegesis means when you take Scripture and you start with Scripture, instead of reading into it what you think it says, you just let Scripture say what it says. So you bring out of that Scripture the truth. That's the word used here for Jesus. Can I say what the Greek says? The Greek says that Jesus exegeted the Father. When the Word became flesh and we beheld His glory, what you were seeing is a glimpse of God the Father. Wow. How would you like to take that life and rewrap it and give it to somebody? Not because you don't like it. Not because you don't know what it is, but out of necessity. Because you suddenly realize you don't have anything in this world to really offer your wife or your children or your friend or your coworkers or your church or your community. Nothing. Isn't that why so many of us sit in a chair and do not engage the world? It's because when we look at what we have, we don't think we have anything to offer. You kidding me? You and I, who have believed in Christ, have been born of God and have received His life. That life was not given to us for us. That life was given to us for Him and for others. And the secret of the Christian life during this Christmas season is understanding we can re-gift the life of Christ. See, God does not want, matter of fact, He's going to be ticked if I can just say that. If we just think about the incarnation during December. Have you noticed how many times in the New Testament writers would actually take the church back to the incarnation of Christ? Why? Because the writers of the New Testament expected the church to life this new life of Christ out before others. I don't know about you, but I think if we could have hung around Jesus in the flesh on this earth, after a while, we'd started to have this thought, wow, you just like your Father. Amen. Man, I'd like to meet your Father. And Jesus would say, hey, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. You keep coming to me, and I'm going to take you right to Him. But you know, you don't have to wait to know Him. Because if you've seen me, you've seen Him. You can have Him right now and become His child. That's how this works. I think many of you who know my dad and know me, you know, there's been some times in your life when you looked at me and said, I don't know if it's good or bad, but you've said, you're just like your dad. I always like to think that's good. I hear all the time, you look just like your dad. Now, you know what's been neat about being a Cunningham? Is I now have a son. And here's what's cool. Years ago, people would say to me, your son looks just like you. But as he's got a little older, and I've quit aging, you know what I'm starting to hear? You look just like your son. Wow. I saw him up there this morning thinking, wow, I must look really good. What is it about us that some of you who think because you've seen me, you know my dad, and because you've seen me, you know my son? That's what this is talking about. In the Christian life, here's what we should desire. We should so desire to live a life that others see us, and when they look at us, they go, amen, amen. The first person I want to think that about me is my wife. Because of all the people who know me on this planet, the only person who's one with me is my wife. She sees me 24/7. And then my kids. And then my family. And then my friends. And my church. And my community. How's that possible? Here's how it's possible. I got to step out. Does anybody remember Philippians chapter 2? That great kenotic passage of Scripture. In Philippians 2:4, see, there's been some problem in the church at Philippi. There's a little fussing, a little fighting, a little bickering. This isn't wanting their way, that isn't wanting their way. And Paul finally says, hey, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he lays out practically how Christ stepped out, stepped down, and stepped into their world. Now listen, he expects us to do this same thing. And the first thing it says was Christ did not think it robbery. Christ did not believe that being equal with God was something that he had to hold on to and cling to. Do you get that? He was so secure in being God and being equal with God that he decided, hey, I don't have to hang up here and let all the angels tell me how wonderful I am. And that's why some of us are where we are. You spent your whole life getting to where you are, and you deserve to be where you are now. And you're not going to change a dirty diaper in the nursery. You're not going to lower your standard of living to give to. You're just going to stay where you are. And you're going to cling to it. Because you want everybody to know who you are. You realize if God had had that attitude, we'd be in trouble. He didn't cling to that. Would some of you do this? Just let it go. Let it go. Be willing to step out of where you are. Now I know, I'm human. There's been times in the past when you did step out. But when you stepped out, it was so you could step up. Amen. You didn't mind stepping out when, whoa, it was an upward move. But man, you now up there. Guess what I'm going to say to you this morning? If you want to re-gift the life of Christ and hand it to someone else, whether it be your wife, whether it be your kids, whether it be your family, whether it be your friends, whether it be your church, whether it be your community, here's what you got to do. When you step out, you got to be willing to step down. Have y'all ever done that where you stepped and you didn't know how long the step was? And I mean, it wasn't but an inch lower. But all of a sudden you feel like you're in a free fall and you can't catch yourself. Any of you ever done that? Can anybody get this? The Son of God, fully God, stepping out into the womb of Mary as an embryo. I don't know about you, but I don't think you can fall much further than he fell. But he did it voluntarily. And how dare you think you've stepped as low as you can step? Can I just ask this question? How can a Christian sincerely believe there are places and people beneath us and name the name of Christ? He stepped out and he stepped down. And when he stepped down, in that step down in him was life, and his life was the light of men. And he's the light that enlightens every man coming into the world. And then throughout the Gospel of John, we got this fight between light and darkness, light and darkness, which translates into right and wrong, right and wrong. And whoa, we Christians are so into being right, we don't have anything to do with those who are wrong. Once you get in the club, wow, it's exclusive. You know I'm telling the truth. Have you ever thought about how his life is the light? Here's the glory of light. Light exposes. Corey ran out of time last Sunday because of four services, but we just got one, so we can't run out of time. He started in John 3:16-17, but he really wanted to get to 21, but he just couldn't. Because of time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. I'd hate to live next to John 3:16. Anybody in here and quote John 3:18, 19, 20, 21? Well, guess what it talks about? This God who loved the world and sent his Son came in the world as light, and the world didn't like him. Because you know what light does? Light exposes. Have you ever had this experience? You're going into a room. Somebody's in the room. Maybe you know they're there. You don't know they're there. You turn on the light and they said, turn the light out. Now maybe they're asleep. Don't want to be awakened. Maybe they're doing something that is secret. They don't want anybody to know. But there are times when you're in the dark, doing things in the dark. You don't want the light turned on. And when somebody turns the light on, you tell them turn out. When God sent his Son, let me just say this. There's a lot of people doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. And so when the light came, the light revealed what they were doing that wasn't right. Jesus didn't say a word. He just showed up. It's amazing how I used to could go to the granary in downtown Hardin and not say a word. And B, you remember this? I didn't say a word. And people start putting down what they were doing. I start seeing guys hiding things in their truck. I can go up to somebody's house and see them go out the back door and take what was in their mouth. They didn't think I saw it and throw it down. What is that? It's called light. And that's what we ought to pray for. That when you and I show up, not because we're a minister, but because of the life we live for Christ, His life being fleshed out in us, it exposes the darkness. And can I say this? It doesn't come through theological debates. And it doesn't come through philosophical conversations usually. It comes through the life of Christ being lived out. Now what I'm trying to tell you is, if you life this life out, not everybody's going to run to you. Some people are going to run away from you. There's some friendship that's going to be broken. There's some things that's not going to come to you at work. There's some things you're not going to be included in. Because your light, the light of Christ, exposes, but it also energizes. Light has this unique ability to energize. I got so tickled yesterday. You guys got to know this. I love storms on Monday, but I do not like them on Thursday and Fridays. I mean, when you only work one day a week, you don't want to miss work. Amen? Can you imagine waiting all week for your day to go to work? It's your day to go to work, and possibly nobody's going to show up to see you do your work. That's horrible. So I love it when it snows on Monday because it'll be gone by Sunday. But ooh, when it does what it does. I got up yesterday morning really early. I drove the roads, come back down here to this church, pulled my four-wheel drive Toyota in, had it in four-wheel drive. And when I came through the entrance and I started to turn, I almost ran into the building. Couldn't turn. Solid sheet of ice. Not like at my house. I had about this much. There was about this much. You couldn't tell this parking lot had ice on it. Now, don't get mad, but I had fun. Hollywood stunt driving. And then I thought, man, Lord, there's no way we're going to get to have church. And I won't work for 2 weeks. But you know what began to happen? I looked this way. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning. I looked that way, and the sun was coming over those trees. And wow, by the time I came back at 3 o'clock, all of that ice had melted, every bit of it. Now, listen. I told people yesterday, I said, hey, the sun will melt the ice. They'd say, but Brother Ricky, it's not going to get above 25. Well, everybody knows 32 is freezing. But here's what I know. You can have a 25-degree day, and there'll be a solid block of ice, and the air temperature can be 25. But if you put that block of ice in the presence of the sun can so energize that ice that the ice actually can't keep it together, and it softens and turns to water. You get it? I know what you're saying. You're saying, Brother Ricky, you don't know my dad. He's so hard. You don't know my mom. You don't know my son. You don't know my neighbor. You don't. But God does. Yes, I know. Believe this all in my heart. There's been a lot of storms and a lot of trials and a lot of clouds that has hardened their hearts. And that's what life offers the world. But can I tell you what God does? When you walk into their life, He turns the light on. Yeah, there's going to be times you're going to show up, they don't want you there because they're doing deeds of darkness. Don't judge them. Don't judge them. See, we got to not only step out and step down, but we got to step into. And Jesus is the example. Even though He had a flesh just like a sinner, He didn't sin. Now, why can't we get that through our heads? Huh? If you used to be an alcoholic and you got saved and you don't drink anymore, you don't have to stay away from your alcoholic friends. You can get saved, go back into a plant, and let God turn the light on. You don't have to surrender to be a minister. See, we got to step out and step down, but we got to step into people's lives. It's called being involved. And can I just say this? When we begin to re-gift the life of Christ, it's a wonderful life. But it doesn't always seem wonderful. There's a show my wife watches, I don't know, 150 times during the Christmas season. Just as soon as we put the Thanksgiving dishes away, it's coming out of the box. It's going into the VCR. It's called It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey. Anybody know George Bailey? Wow. Poor George. Just lived in this crummy little town of Bedford Falls. Do you know, he seemed to have a good heart. Sacrificed for the family, thought about the community, saved the Bailey building and loan, let his uncle keep his job. Then that day hit the depression. Well, they barely kept the door open. And then his uncle misplaced the $8,000. It drove George to a place to where he wished he had never been born. Can you imagine so living a life that your thought is, I wish I'd never been born? Any of you ever been there? Not I wish I could die. I wish I'd never been born. And he starts to take his life, but he gets rescued by, whoa, probably the kind of guardian angel I've got. Amen? And the next thing you know, he gets to see life in Bedford Falls if he had not been born. Except Bedford Falls is not a crummy little town. It's Potterville. And poor Mr. Gower, no Harry, no troops saved in war. Mary never married and had children. You get it? See, he came. He stepped out, he stepped down, he stepped in. And it changed your world. If you don't step out, down, and in, wonder what your wife will be like. Wonder how your kids will turn out. Wonder what your friends will do. Wonder what your church will be like. Wonder what community, kind of community we will live in. It's a wonderful life. And one day, when you stand before God, and he shows you the life change his son not only brought to you, but brought to your wife and your kids and your family and your friends and your church and your plant and your community and your ball team. Wow! You believe that? Do you really believe this? Do you really believe the life of Christ is worth re-gifting? Then why aren't you re-gifting it? Greatest thing we can give those we love this holiday season is the gift of the life of Christ. Let's pray. As we begin to pray, I'm going to ask Ron and Corey and Brady and some of our counseling men if they just come and stand here. See, it's possible this morning that the reason we're here is because God's ordained somebody to be born again. You may have been born again while we were preaching. You may have been born again during the worship service. There may have been a time when you've already this morning turned from a life of sin, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Man, the moment that happens, you become brand new. God wants you to identify that faith by going down into the water of baptism. And you may be here this morning, just like the two, and you need to step out and say, I've been saved. I want to identify with Christ. Won't you come to one of these men? They'd love to talk to you about Christ. They'd love to talk to you about salvation. You may be here and you've not been born again yet, but you feel convicted. You're beginning to understand what Christ did for you, that he became like you so that he could go to a cross. See, that's what Paul said. He did not grasp hold of being equal with God, but he humbled himself and became a servant, took on the form of man, that's stepping down, and then he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. He got involved. You realize that? He got involved. He stood between you and the Father with all your sin, and God judged him in your place. Right now, if you're being convicted about being a sinner, and you would like to have this new life of Christ in you, if you'll step out, one of these men here would love to take you in back and talk to you about a relationship with Christ. But I just wonder how many of you would like to live this wonderful life and re-gift the life of Christ and just see what God might do with it. Just give it to the Lord and see what he might do. Who'd be the first one to get up and just come down here to these steps? You don't need a counselor. Just come to these steps, kneel before the Lord and say, God, I want to make a commitment to re-gift the life of Christ. I want to be willing in my life to have the same mindset he had. I'm going to be willing to step out, step down, and step into people's life and serve. Who'd be the first one? God bless you. Who else? You know that person you're praying for? God just might reveal his light through you. You might be the one. Who else would slip out and just kneel right down here on these steps? Just saying before God, I not only re-gift love, I want to re-gift his life. I want to let his life be seen in me. I want to act like Christ. At work, I want people to actually not doubt why I go to church. I want people to actually believe and see that I look and act like Christ. When I tell people I'm a Christian, I pray they've already seen the family resemblance. Hey, you got a decision right now. You might have a sister, you might have a neighbor, you might have someone you work with who needs this gift. Right now is your time. You're saying, Brother Ricky, no, don't do it where you're sitting. Why don't you get up out of your seat and come down here and let us know you're going to give this gift. Anyone else before we pray want to come? Anyone else? Ron, Brady, and Corey, they're here to talk to you if you'd like to talk about salvation, church membership. You might have a burden. You want them to pray with you? We're going to pray right here in just a second. Anyone else want to come? Father, wow, I love the Christmas narrative from John's perspective. And Father, I love how the incarnation is to be lifed out. And just as Jesus stepped out, stepped down, and stepped into our world, it's possible for me to quit expecting everybody else to step up to where I am and me be willing to step down to where they are with the prayer that I don't bring them to me or in conformity to me, but that they get brought into conformity to you, because it's not me they see, but it's the life of your son they see in me. If Father, I want to pray for these who have come to these steps. Some are still in the steps. Some are going back to their seats. But I want you to anoint. And Father, do not let us gripe, complain anymore about this life we live. Let us understand you've ordained a life of suffering. And Father, let us understand it's a sacrifice to give your life away. But Father, help us have an attitude adjustment when we understand life's not about me. Please don't let husbands keep thinking their life's about them. Please don't let wives keep thinking their life's about them. Please, Father, let us see at the core of our being, our life is about you. Thank you, Father, for the gift you've given us, the life of Christ. Father, help us re-gift this life. Help me know how to step into somebody else's world. We praise you, Father, and we thank you. In your Son's name, amen.